Hello, I'm Jennifer Neville with this week's Middle East report. Coming up, Israel negotiates to end the war in Lebanon, and the Ukraine enters its fifth year of war with Russia. During Israel's springtime holiday season, Israel has entered negotiations to halt the war in Lebanon, and the ceasefire between America and Iran is set to expire in the coming week. With more, here is news correspondent Kent Allen.
The main military action taking place in the Middle East right now is that the Israeli military continues to fight the Hezbollah militia in southern Lebanon, and the United States military has imposed a naval blockade on Iran. America and Iran had agreed to a two-week ceasefire, which is due to expire in the middle of the coming week. Initial negotiations in the capital of Pakistan failed to reach an agreement. And as this report is being filed, there is a possibility of further direct negotiations between the USA and Iran. Iran continues to put a blockade on any ships leaving or entering the Persian Gulf without permission of Iran, and thus the USA has now put a blockade on the blockade, so to speak. Regarding the war in the north of Israel, the Israeli infantry continues in some places to fight the Hezbollah militia from house to house in the Shiite villages of South Lebanon, in conjunction with the Israeli Air Force continuing aerial attacks. In response, Hezbollah continues firing rockets and unmanned bomb-carrying aircraft, drones, into communities of northern Israel along the border with Lebanon. America and Lebanon are holding direct talks to end the fighting, and the Hezbollah militia, not party to the talks, has condemned the negotiations. The fighting in the region comes during one of the most interesting holiday seasons in Israel. The fighting began near the Jewish holiday, which commemorates Jews rising up to resist being attacked in ancient Iran. The current ceasefire in the Persian Gulf began on the Jewish commemoration of the parting of the Red Sea. Now, during this outgoing week, was Israel's annual Holocaust Memorial Day, and then next week, Israel will be celebrating its 78th year of independence. This is now the third spring holiday season in a row that Israel has been at war. This is Kent Allen reporting from Jerusalem.
In other news, the war in Iran has taken the eyes of the world off the ongoing conflict in the Ukraine, which is now in its fifth year. To find out more, and in this exclusive interview, I spoke earlier to Piers Arthur Crowe, who heads up the One New Man Network, providing emergency aid and supplies to the people of the Ukraine. Well, it's great to have you on my program again, Piers, and Russia, the Russian war now with the Ukraine is entering its fifth year. So can you say more about the impact of this ongoing war in the Ukraine and how it's affecting the people there and, of course, your work there?
Yeah, thank you again, Jennifer, for having me back. It's great to be able to give an update on what God's doing and what's going on in Ukraine. Just like the impact it's having on petrol prices in the UK, the impact of the Iranian war is having a big impact in Ukraine and on a number of fronts, not least because of those petrol prices going up. The Americans have lifted sanctions on Russian oil. And one of the reasons they've done that is obviously is more oil brings the price down because the price is going up and that's a problem for consumers. However, it's also a big problem for Ukraine because that pumps at least $100 million or more into the coffers of the Russian state every day. So that's $100 million every day going into Russia that wouldn't have been going in if we weren't having these issues around the Iran war. So you think, well, it's a long way away, but actually having a big impact. Another big impact is Russia is talking to America about trading information. So it's saying we'll stop giving targeting information to the Iranians so they won't be able to find your ships or your bases and all that kind of thing. And then you stop giving information to Ukraine so that they can stop finding our ships and finding our infrastructure. So So there's definitely a subplot going on there, which is having an impact on Ukraine. And obviously, even simple things like these air defense missiles. In 3 days, the Gulf states used the same amount of missiles that Ukraine would get in 6 months. Now, obviously, they're very wealthy states, and they were able to buy these and buy these quickly, which is why they did what they did. But it goes to show the disparity. And obviously, now there aren't those air defense missiles. More of those are getting through in Ukraine, which means more hardship for civilians, mainly, really, but also soldiers as well.
So as far as your work is concerned, what are some of the challenges facing the pastors and their churches and, of course, helping the families in their areas, providing aid and support?
One of the biggest challenges is the uncertainty. Mm. It's so hard to plan. It's so hard to work really strategically when you don't know what's coming around the corner. The peace talks are still ongoing. The war's grinding on. How much can they plan and prepare for a future if they don't know what that's going to look like? So for the leaders and the network, it's very much living day by day and not really week by week, and doing what they've always done, which is continuing to love, support, care for their community around them, distribute to their physical needs, but obviously meeting spiritual needs, preaching the gospel, praying with people, listening to people who are grieving, standing with people who have lost their home. Talking about Kramatorsk, we support two congregations there. One is a Messianic congregation and one is a Protestant church. And both of those are housing refugees in their building. One of them has a basement, which is particularly useful because obviously it offers some measure of protection. So that means there are people living full-time in the church. They open up for soup kitchens. They open up for obviously all their normal services and prayer meetings and those sorts of things. It makes everything harder because when they're now the energy infrastructure is so degraded that the electricity blackouts are rolling constantly throughout the country. Areas that had electricity fairly regularly is now less and less. And obviously all of those things about getting hold of the goods that they need and getting hold of simple things like bread. One of the ministries we support has mobile bakeries and goes around visiting sort of smaller towns and villages where the shops have just closed down because getting in and out is too difficult. So they turn up, they bake 1,000 loaves of bread, and they'll distribute those into the community and then move on to the next one just to get simple necessities through. So things are just, they're hard and they're getting harder.
As far as the pastors in the network, as far as their faith, obviously their faith is being stretched beyond anything we've ever seen before. So how do you encourage them in the work they're doing and build them up?
There's two ways. Firstly, three really. Firstly, we're always praying. So I run a regular weekly prayer meeting, and I'm always encouraging, please do pray for Ukraine. Don't forget to pray. Mm. Prayer is powerful and prayer is important, and it really is a spiritual battle. Those sort of prayers really make a difference because we know from John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I came to bring life and life to the full. So the idea is you can see very clearly that the destruction and the death and all of those things being wrought on Ukraine has a spiritual root, and there's a long history looking back in Russia and why the Russian people keep churning out these sort of bloodthirsty monsters for leaders, be it Stalin, be it Putin, be it the Tsar. It seems to have rolled on and on for hundreds of years, Catherine the Great, etc., etc. Definite spiritual root. Really, we must continue in prayer. The other thing we do is we send money. So any gift house marked for Ukraine goes out in its entirety for Ukraine. We don't take any admin fee or any of that sort of thing. We make sure the money gets out there and gets into these frontline leaders. We constantly, as much as we are able, we're sending funds to help them do what they do. And then lastly, and I think this is really the foundation of everything we do, is we're holding these One New Man gatherings, which bring together leaders. One of the issues going back sort of 6 months, a year ago, was if you weren't part of a sort of an official church, or your denomination didn't have official sanction, then you could end up being drafted. So if you said, well, I'm a pastor, and they would say, well, no, that's not good enough, off you go and get drafted. And of course, the whole church would collapse once it lost its pastor. But nowadays, that's changed. They've made dispensation for church leaders, and that's made it a lot easier for church leaders to travel, to minister, to do what they do, because they recognize the impact that church leaders are having in Ukraine. So we're holding gatherings, and we're gathering people together. And it's a beautiful picture to see Jew and Gentile standing mm-hmm. together, particularly of the issues around anti-Semitism, and particularly anti-Semitism in the church. Mm-hmm. To see church leaders standing together, Jew and Gentile, side by side, particularly in a war zone, blessing, encouraging, supporting, praying for each other. They work together. So if they've got a crossover, or if someone's going somewhere, or if someone's got a need, they help one another. So it's really key that all of those sorts of relationships and those conversations keep happening. And so we facilitate that by running these gatherings.
And in all that you've been sharing, Piers, how would you encourage our listeners to pray for this work, and also for the pastors, and also for the people that they're trying to help at this time?
We need to be praying that the love of the kingdom, the joy of the kingdom, the peace that passes all understanding, the fruits of the Spirit, all of those things that you just can't get in the natural but only come by the power of God, would be released in the leaders' lives. Pray for their church and the teams they lead. They never lead on, they're never on their own. They're always with a team. They always have a core group of people who support the work that any particular church is doing. So we can pray for those teams. We can pray for finances and that spiritual covering. Pray for protection. Mm. We heard a story from Pastor Misha, who's another one who travels to the front lines. They were on their way down to the front line. They had a particular area they were going to, and it's sort of a rest fallback area. And they stopped on the way because they were tired from the long drive, and they saw a friend, and they had a cup of tea, used the toilet, and just had a 20-minute break on the journey. Carried on down, and as they arrived, just 15 minutes before, there'd been a drone attack that had blown up various different parts of the things, and a drone had dropped out of the sky, and people had been killed. And they could have been in the midst mm-hmm. of that if they had been there just that little bit sooner. So let's keep praying for protection as well, that God looks after these saints as they go on and doing this kingdom work.
That was Piers Arthur Crowe. For more details or to support this vital work, go to www.onenewmaneurope.org. This ends this edition of the Middle East Report. Please continue to join me again next time with the latest news from Israel and the Middle East. For more details, go to online middleeastreport.com.